thankful to be sanctified this morning. Thankful for the difference that Jesus can make in our lives. I'm thankful for the testimonies and the victory I see. I'm thankful for Christ's sanctified holy church that brings us together. I'm excited to be worshiping in Jacksonville with you all. I came here as a young child, and I'm thankful for the sermons I sat under then and for the victories that I knew of since that time. And I'm thankful for the witness that we can have in our heart this morning that when I see you raise your hand, Aunt Janice, I know your testimony, not because I remember it because I was there, but because you've told me. And I'm thankful for the witness that when we share what God has done for us, it's a witness to Him, and it gives me courage and encourages me. It makes me know that not only has He done it for me, He's done it for you, and He's doing it for my children. When you see God working in your child's life, it's so humbling, and I'm just praising for it this morning. I'm thankful today, like I said, to be in Christ Sanctified Holy Church. I'm thankful for what it has taught me, and I'm thankful that every time I may have said, I'm not sure if what they told me was just exactly right, I went to the Word of God, because y'all taught me that too. And when I went to the Word of God, I haven't found a time that it didn't confirm what sanctified people had told me. And I'm thankful this morning that He left the Word on record for us. This meeting has been great. We have had three good sermons. The power is here. The songs from the very first one, go spread the tidings round wherever man is found, where every human heart and human woe abound. Let me tell you, everyone has a woe. Someone has a burden, because sin is in your heart until you meet Jesus, until you go to that cross, until you experience Pentecost in your life. I thought I might tell you a little about Pentecost. We studied it at a young folks Bible study this past week. And Pentecost, in the New Testament, y'all might just go to Acts chapter 2. That's just kind of where, if you're Bible readers, you think about Pentecost. The day of Pentecost was fully come in Acts chapter 2. And I might read a little bit there, but it started way back. God was teaching His people that it was going to come. And whenever they let Him out of Egypt, and they celebrated Passover. I'm not good at keeping the timeline quite straight, but after they celebrated Passover, every year they were to celebrate a Feast of Weeks, which was 50 days after the Passover. And when they celebrated that Feast of Weeks, it was to remember. They did a couple of things that God instructed them in Deuteronomy, that they were to include everyone, even the stranger, and everyone from your children on up. Everybody was included in this. It wasn't just for the select, you know, Levites or anybody to observe, but it was for everyone. And it also was to let them remember that they were bondmen in Egypt and that God had brought them out with a high and mighty hand. So as we're here this morning, and it is Pentecost Sunday, let's just think about that. Have we went to the cross and asked the Lord to forgive us of our sins? Has He cleansed all of that out? So the Passover, I don't want to belabor it, but they had to go in and take out all the leaven. There could be no leaven left in the house. They had to clean it out before. And then they had to be ready. Ready for what? Ready for that Spirit that's coming. And so Pentecost, in the first chapter of Acts, Pentecost is when the Spirit was given. The first time it was given was when the Pentecost was fully come. So in the first chapter of Acts, Jesus has His disciples. They're a little confused. They don't know what's coming quite yet. They haven't experienced it quite yet. So they heard Jesus is telling them, go tarry in Jerusalem. There's something else coming. They thought it was over. So they went back to work. Well, Jesus had to come to them and say, it's not over. There's more to come. And in the first chapter, it says, and they being assembled together with them commanded them they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John, the John that truly baptized with water, he was baptizing unto repentance. And it's necessary. We have to repent. But ye, not only do we repent, we shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And when therefore they were come together, they asked of him, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? Are we going to be restored? Are we going to be in power again? Are we going to be, you know, taken into a land where we can rule over people? That's not what Jesus was talking about. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father shall put in his own power, but ye shall receive power. So we didn't have to go to Canaan, a physical place. We could get the power in our heart that could resurrect us, as Brother John brought out so pretty, that we could be renewed. It's as if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ shall also quicken us, our mortal bodies, by his spirit. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. He gives us the work to do unto both Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria. They weren't really favored by the Jews. Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the earth. For everyone, I'm glad it brought me in. And Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were with all one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Aren't you glad that Pentecost came to you one day? If you're sanctified, it's filled your heart. It's changed you from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that you might receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them that are sanctified. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with utter tongues as the Spirit, capital S, Spirit gave them utterance. This wasn't an unknown tongue. This wasn't something that was causing confusion in the early church. This was a, God was saying, no, we're no longer separated. We're no longer different people. We are one. So everyone could hear, and they were amazed. It was a witness of the Holy Ghost being manifest. It was uniting, Brother Raya, the church. It wanted them to be one people and one stick, lifting up Jesus Christ. And it talks about how they said, what meaneth this? And some of them said, they're just full of new one. They just completely discounted the power of God. But Peter... Aren't you glad for Peter? I told him at home recently, I read recent that Peter, he gets criticized sometimes because he didn't, you know, he got out of the boat though. He got out of the boat. The rest of the disciples weren't sure about that. And so they didn't get out of the boat. Peter gets criticized maybe because the waves were a little boisterous, but I'm thankful for Peter and his boldness. It's an encouragement to me. You read about him in the early church. Once he got sanctified, this is the power he had. He lifted up his voice and said, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be known unto you and hearken to my words, for these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing that but the third hour of the day, but this is that was spoken by the prophet Joel. It wasn't new information. It was just confirming what they had been told. That I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters. Aren't you glad that he brought the women in? Shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and all my servants, and all my handmaidens, that's me, and I will pour out in those days of my spirit, capital S, and they shall prophesy, and I will shew in heaven above signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord come. You know, some people might take this scripture and think it hadn't happened yet, but those things happen. They're in the scriptures, but those things did happen, and this is the fulfillment after that. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thankful this morning that we are saved by the power of God. I wasn't sure what all to read because it's so encouraging to go through that next several chapters in Acts about, and I enjoyed Brother Paul's reading too there on Mars Hill, but they're so encouraged and so excited to go spread the gospel. There were 3,000 people at that event on the day of Pentecost, and it said one place in there that it counted unto them daily such as should be saved. So there were more coming, and the God was just building his church. And you know, as Peter and John went and they healed the lame man there at the temple, and I think it says he was over 40 years old or something. So he had been there a long time, it sounded like. And that was a big, that was very impressionable on a lot of people. And so the rulers of the day, they wanted to quiet this. They'd been trying to quiet Jesus and it hadn't worked. And then they went to Peter and to John there and they wanted to quiet them. And I love how it brought out, I think it's the third chapter. I don't know if I can put, oh, maybe, yeah, there it is. So it's in the fourth chapter, how Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, see, it makes all the difference, said unto them, ye men, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel, If we this day be examined of you the good deed done by the impotent man, by which means he was made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all people of Israel, that the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. And this is the stone, Brother Uriah, that was set at naught of you builders. So the Jews have rejected it. They didn't want it. But it says it has become the head of the corner. So it's not only is it true and right, it is the most important thing, Jesus Christ. And neither is there salvation in any other. There is no other name given under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. And I love this. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and they perceived that they were unlearned, ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Lord, help me to live my life. Lord, help us as a church to live our lives in such a way that not people can discount it because they go, wait, they spent time with Jesus. We're not, you know, that makes all the difference. And we can just surrender our lives to him. I've been reading this week in Ephesians, and some of my favorite scripture there. And I don't want to take too long, but I'm going to read a little there if I can find it. I will tell you that the first chapter, it's written to the Ephesians. It says to Ephesus, but I think it's applicable to all sanctified people. So once you've had the Pentecost and you read this, the words just feel like a warm blanket and a hot cup of tea to me. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are in Ephesus and the faithful in Christ Jesus. He calls us to that. When we've experienced Pentecost, we have the Holy Spirit in our hearts, we're sanctified, we're going to be faithful to him. He's done way too much for us. Yes. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us into the adoption. I've been adopted. My name's written down. Of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glory, of his grace, wherein hath he made us accepted in the beloved. And those words kind of struck me when I read it. Don't we all want to be loved and accepted? And don't we really want to be accepted by God? The only way that we're going to be able to live a holy life is to repent of the sins that we've committed, surrender to him, and say, Lord, I want your spirit in my heart more than anything else. And when we do that, he will accept us because he'll put his spirit. And as Brother Sister Avery talked yesterday about the coal going on Isaiah's lips and the pureness that came from that holy fire, he will purify our hearts and enable us to live a holy life.
That's right.
In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and are on earth, even in him. Brother Don talked about Jesus going into heaven itself. When he did that, he went to go stand before God and intercede for you and for me. He didn't just go up there to take a rest, but he is sitting on the throne, ever interceding to the Father for his children, that we should be the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, and whom he also trusted. These are the sanctified people. After you have heard of the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom, after you have believed, were sealed with the Holy, capital S, Spirit of promise, which is the earnest. Now, earnest is just a little bit of money with a bigger promise of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession and to the praise of his glory. He bought heaven for us. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and love unto all saints, I just feel this in my heart. Cease not to give thanks for you, for each one in attendance, for each one lifting up the gospel in your home churches, each one traveling and trying to proclaim the gospel wherever you go, each one that gets up in the morning, a sanctified person, and goes to work and does good in the world and shines that light. That is important. That's a witness to God, and we want to witness because He can do that for each and every person in the world. What He's done for me, He's doing for us yet. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. What else do we need when we have the knowledge of God? That your eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and the riches of His glory and inheritance in the saints, what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us for that believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him on His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power. He conquered it all, and might and dominion in every name that is named, not only in this world, but in the one to come. We have a promise of heaven in the end. And He had put all things under His feet to be the head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. And you have He quickened. Now that means made alive. That's the experience we have when we get sanctified. We're not dead in sin. We are alive and holy. Wherein in time past. Now, and that's the thing with God, is we all come to Him the same way. Whatever sin, whether it's an 8-year-old child or, an older adult that has a history of sinful life, we come to Him the same way. He doesn't take any other sacrifice other than a sinful heart. Lord, and I want you more than anything. That's all He needs. He doesn't need our ability. He's got that. He doesn't need our talent. He can give whatever is needed at the time that He needs it to happen. But He does need our willingness and our awareness that we're broken. So, I wasn't sure when to share this part, but I will tell you, the Lord gave me this song this past week, and we don't sing it often, but I decided that my kids needed to learn it, so we might need to sing it some, but it's number 120, and I don't plan to sing it. I kind of want to talk through it just because I want you to hear the words. This is someone's experience that's been sanctified. Starts with dead and trespasses and sin. Once the Spirit found me. So when we are in sin and the Spirit pricks our heart, it is such a special thing. You don't need to neglect that. Because if it pricks your heart, God's working with you. God Almighty is working with you. It's not easy though, because this is what happens. Showed me awful guilt within. Danger all around me. It's a little scary to recognize your need of God. But we all have it. And we need Him. I will sin no more. That's the right response. You know, in that second chapter of Acts, when Peter delivered that sermon after he finished up, they said, "What shall we do?" He said, "Repent and be converted, every one of you, that your sins may be blotted out in the time of refreshing. Second work of grace." That Spirit will come from the promise of the fire. So this is the right response. Now you can turn away. You can run away. And that Spirit that's working with your heart, it'll Satan will kind of just distract you enough to where it won't hurt so much. I will sin, but this is the right response. This is what we have to do if we want to be holy. "I will sin no more," I cried. Called on Christ to save me. Then I knew the blood of God. Freely, He forgave me. What did it say? Through His blood. "Holy thine, grown to wonder, never sending from our power behind. All around me, all What it is, it's just the experience of someone. And as we get sanctified from the carnal nature saved by glory only, so now our life is not our own. We've committed to Him. We've said, Lord, I want to be yours more than anything in life. So every living power to Thee. Like, that's still a commitment that we make. And if we don't decide, if we don't make that commitment to Him, we can lose the Spirit of God. Right. It's such a precious thing, but you don't want to lose it. You want to live, now Jehovah fills my soul. Such a freedom there. Saves from sin and sinning. Every whit made whole. Glory never ending. Thankful this morning for the experience I have. I'm just going to finish with that little bit of scripture there in the second chapter of Ephesians. Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom we all had our conversation in time past, the lust of our flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That's not what you want to do. It doesn't. You don't have good relationships when you're just angry all the time, but God. So that's the difference. It's not that I can do something on my own, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, made us alive together. Dead in sins, alive to God. Quickened us together with Christ, by grace are you saved, and raised us up together, made us sit together. So not only does Christ intercede for us, He invites us up to live in heavenly places with Him. Then He has raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might shew His exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So now, of not only our life, not our own, we are His workmanship. So what He puts on our heart to do, it's our job to do it. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God should before ordain that we should walk in them. So I'm thankful this morning for the victory found in Christ. And I would just ask this morning, if you're not sanctified, Do you want to have a Pentecost?
Yeah.
Do you want to meet God and be holy before Him? So when that judgment day does come, when you meet the Lord, when there's no more mercy, as Brother Gene told us last night, whenever you meet judgment, you've had Pentecost. So it's not a scary thing. We don't have to worry about that judgment on our part because God paid the price and we accepted His sacrifice and now we are made holy through Him. So I've so enjoyed my time here in Jacksonville with you all. The Spirit has been rich in our services, but we'd love to have altar service. Brother Raya spoke about the altar. It's important. It's important to know that it's serious. It's not something that can be flippantly decided, but it's also something that it's commitment. And it's a, like you said, a memorial that we can, a portal. He used that word. I like that, that this is what divides. And you, once you become sanctified, the sin doesn't plague your life and you can live, void of offense toward God and man. So this morning, if you have a need or if you're seeking the Lord, we ask that you come up for prayer.
Amen.